All right, this is Jimmy Cabs with Brian Spinks. This is going to be interesting because there's so many different versions of the pronunciation of your band name. Samothrace, Samothrace.
Right.
What do you prefer?
We generally say Samothrace.
Samothrace.
Yeah, and I feel like we'll probably get heat from certainly people in Greece for being like, that is so just incorrect.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you know.
But I mean, I'm from Oklahoma, so that's my excuse, you know. But yeah, we generally say Samothrace.
Samothrace.
Yeah.
All right, Wally, where do we begin with this? First of all, welcome back to Southern California.
It's good to be back.
Let me also say, let me commend you for the show Must Go On. Boy, did you guys really show the true virtue of that statement, the show must go on.
Absolutely.
I think everyone knows the unfortunate circumstances with the band that you were touring with,
Sabrosa.
Yeah,
man.
And the cancellation, you know, but the fact that you guys continued, I commend you for that.
Yeah.
Let's start off real quick with, prior to that incident, how has the tour been going?
Tour's been good, man. We just played, we got shortchanged. We played one show in Eugene. So we did a Eugene show by ourselves on the way down. That was killer. And then the first night with Sabrosa was in, oh man, it's a tour.
It's a tour, man.
Yeah, I forget, right?
It's a tour. That's what it's all about.
It's Reno, bud.
Oh, really?
Because it was somewhere I never played before. That's why it took me a second. First show was in Reno with them, and decent turnout, man. You know, like, I think they might have played there before. Maybe not. We've never even played a show in Nevada.
Mm.
And roll up, you know, a little dive bar that kicked ass. And
nice and comfortable.
Nice and comfortable.
That's
you know?
The perfect atmosphere.
It is. It was an intimate night with Sabrosa and Samothrace, you know? And
this is interesting to me because the atmosphere that you create with your music is very unique in the sense where any person that is familiar with your band has already developed the mental and emotional and spiritual endurance for your band.
Right.
Whereas, say, a typical heavy music fan is like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And being that you've been traveling different markets within the United States, have you encountered that type of listener?
We have, man.
And,
like,
have you been able to win that listener over?
Yeah,
talk to me about that.
You know, like, we're a doom metal band. You know what I mean? And we always have been. But from day one, I was like, look, man, I want to start this band with my friends. We all care about heavy music. We've been listening for a long time. There were certain bands of that era, you know, the late... Well, I mean, it started before that, but the, like, late 90s to the early 2000s when they were, like, reigning supreme, like, the South, the Southern bands, and Arkansas, like, Wake and Dead Bird and stuff, you know? And I was like, we're going to start this band, but if we're going to play in a doom metal band, we should write music that we would want to listen to, and that is, like, is different enough that we're not, like, I wouldn't be bored with it, you know? Like, I love traditional doom. I love any band paying homage to any band, you know. I love good, heavy, slow riffs. But for us personally, it was kind of like, if we're going to do this, like, we got two guitars, let's use them, you know. Let's play two different parts, let's write it. And it wasn't really like, let's just, you know, it wasn't just about the power chords and, like, just jamming. Like, we really did want to try and do, kind of carve out our own sound. Does that make sense?
You most definitely accomplished.
You know what I mean?
That.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. You know,
one of the things that sets your band apart from other bands is the fact that there's a journey in your music, which leads me to my next question. When you're writing your material, do you actually factor in that component, or do you also? Because when someone sees your band playing live, there's a natural element where it's like a jam, but a controlled jam, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
So my question is do you factor that in, or do you just loosely, when you're writing, go with it and see where that journey takes you?
It's pretty much factored in, man. Like, with most of the things I write, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of bands are like, oh, I write about life, you know, and I write about this and that. You know what I mean? But for me, really, it was like, all right, these are the life experiences I've had. So maybe I'll start with a lyrical palette for this song.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So this song is about the oppressor and the oppressed. Awkward Hearts from the first album. So I have the standpoint of the oppressed and us screaming at the oppressor, and the oppressor beginning the song telling us what we are. We're swine, we're life's trade, you know. That song in particular, I had the lyrical pattern, and I was like, all right, I need to write music fitting to how, you know, emotional I feel about the lyrics. Mm-hmm. Like, conversely, pretty much every other song was like, okay, I'm feeling this thing in my life. Like, it really is all based on life experience. You know what I mean? I don't just write a song because I can. I write it because I have to.
Is that why your songs have such an emotional connection with the audience as well?
I would guess so, man. Because it's an extremely emotionally draining thing for me to play a set, you know, for all of us.
Yeah, by the way,
we're just joined. I'm sorry. I'm going to butcher your name. Can you please?
Renata.
Castagna. Renata Castagna.
We were commenting about, we were actually discussing the band's music and the components of when you're compiling it. One of the things that I also enjoyed of your performance, aside from the whole connection that you have on stage, which I call the Samothrice live ritual,
is the
fact that it transcends well with the audience, where it's a commitment. We were discussing in different parts of the United States where the heavy music fan who is not familiar with your band may not have the endurance, because it's a relationship connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're here to go on the journey. Mm-hmm. When you're up on stage performing, though, do you account for that, or do you guys just go in your own right? And you welcome the viewer to join you or not? Talk
I think
to me about that.
Kind of, I go on my own ride. I think we all kind of go on our own ride. Because when we started the band, we were like, we have no idea if anybody's going to really even like this. But we're just doing this. Yeah, we honestly kind of thought, like, I don't know if anybody's really going to have the patience.
We kind of set out, in my opinion, when we started, I was like, you know what, a gentleman's gentleman, I want to be a band's band. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
And then after that, if the fans are into it, then that's just icing on the cake. But if we can impress the musicians that impressed us, then like maybe we're on the right path.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Would you say that when you're writing the music that you've compiled with your releases, you don't fall into the repetitive trap hole? What I mean by that, for instance, there's a lot of bands that once they kind of get into that connection, they stick with it because they're afraid to branch out. They don't want to lose what brought them that fan base, what brought them that credibility. I've noticed that with your releases, with your music, it seems to be an ongoing journey where sometimes for someone who is really committed to listening to the music, it's like an ongoing story with no ending.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that, or talk to me about
very
that?
Very much.
Absolutely.
That makes that's a good way of putting it. You said it better than any of us.
I'm not as stupid as I look.
No, dude, you're great, bud. Honestly, man, like I said, we write these songs based on life and where life's brought us. And so that first album, we were all like, we were younger, we'd all grown up in the hardcore and punk community and metal scene too, but you know, booking shows and being really pissed off at the system
DIY
and the man, exactly.
It comes from
so
a
So that first
basis
record
that.
Is a lot of like, you know, we're talking a lot of shit on the man, if you will, like the oppressor, or like we're debunking gods, you know, myths, all that. And then the Reverence is Still on the newest album, had a track that was from our demo, When We Emerged, which that song itself is about how basically it's, now especially, that song was written in like 2005, but it's 2013 and we're still arguing about like, you know, gay marriage rights. And like people are starving everywhere and there's all these social problems going on. And that song was about how when we crawled out of the primordial soup, when we emerged, we missed something.
Wow.
You know, but the other song on that record, A Horse of Our Own, unfortunately was very much about how a few of the members of the band went through some very troubling and addicted times. You know, we all...
It was more human.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Way, way more human. Like, that song can speak to anyone who's ever had a hardship or a problem or something they couldn't quite handle and had to finally get a grip on or get help to deal with. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, it basically saying to everyone...
I admire honesty.
Yeah. You know, like, they call heroin the horse. That song itself is called A Horse of Our Own because everyone is on a horse of their own.
Yeah, that's true.
All the way Christians, politicians, us, all of us, you know, maybe you drink, maybe you smoke, maybe you do dope, maybe you worship God, maybe you... Everyone's on a horse of their own, and it was all about how everyone should respect the fact that we're all sitting there together.